The man who walked 759 times gave it to us.
That's why we do what we do, you know. That's why now we're actually talking about the Caminos from many different perspectives, because there's lots of crap on the Camino.
You meet someone in Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port and suddenly you meet it in Santiago. There is a whole life in the middle that have two different people that you are meeting, no?
For us, Camino Teles and the Camino, it's a community. It's not about me, Erica.
Reya, and welcome to El Camino People, the podcast, where we explore the transformative journey of the pilgrimage. I'm your host, José María Danat, and every week we bring you inspiring stories of pilgrims, travelers, and seekers who have embarked on journeys of self-discovery, healing, and personal growth. In today's episode, we have the privilege of diving deep into the experience of Erika and Ricky, the founders of Camino Travelers. Seasonal travelers, passionate advocates of mindful walking, and join us and uncover. And also, I haven't discovered right now that their Spanish is amazing. So we will be doing another interview in Spanish for the ones that they are listening. So right now you are already in. So welcome. Hello. And thank you for being here.
Happy, thank you for having us.
Yeah, happy days. Thank you for invitation. And thank you for everyone for listening as well. Hopefully we have a pleasant moment.
Of course, I'm like, we've really been talking about the Camino, and this is, you know, one of the things, like, we just met, and right there you just find the connection with people about the Camino and how the Camino brings people together. Even, you know, they were saying we will go deeper into the story, but just the strange ways of the Camino. I'm like, at the end you start looking back as many years, and suddenly, you know, everything goes together, gets together, and here we are talking about the Camino Santiago, you guys in the Canary, me in Pamplona. And just a couple months ago, we were both in Japan walking over there.
Incredible, yes. Right? Incredible.
It is.
I remember reaching out to you because of you've been walking the Kumano Corridor. It's like, how is it? How is it? Tell us, how is it you want to go? And that's how it all started, no?
Yeah.
I know. It's just that a lot of people, you know, they always say the bad side on social media, but I always say, you know, the great side. I have so many friends like you that I haven't met yet. I'm like, I have really friends that we talk every other week with the COVID and the Camino that I have never met. And it's, I don't think there's any other place or any other thing in the world like the Camino that creates these friendships.
Yeah, that's true. And hopefully we're going to be friends with everyone who's actually joining the podcast as well. It's the main idea,
and,
no?
You know, spread the word, and the more people that goes to the Camino, I think the better world will be left for the future ones.
Yes.
And
we love that one, yeah.
I think, you know, I don't care if you walk 5-6 days, you go there, whatever, and like the more people that goes to any of the Caminos, I think the better world will be. So the more people, you know, like you guys are spreading the love for the Camino and all the different things that can be and we can do, I'm like, why not? There's Caminos for everyone.
For us, the big joy is that Camino is really open to absolutely anyone, you know? And the joy of walking itself, the joy of walking and discovering the nature, they're all fundamental and free resources for everyone, you know? And not bound to absolutely anything.
Yeah.
And you can get any idea, any learning that you can from your walk. You know, it doesn't have to be just one solution, one fit solution to all. It doesn't have to be one thing that they tell you that it must be. It's everyone has its own way and no Camino. Doesn't matter the 6 days, 3 days, 1 day, or even the preparation already is the Camino. You know, people are like, no, mm-hmm. I have to go to the Camino. You're preparing for Camino. It's already
one
the
year
Camino.
Before already, yeah.
Yeah,
long, as long as you respect every other pilgrim, there is only one Camino, or it's your own. You know, go have fun and that's it. Doesn't matter. But let's go to the first question. I'm like, for the ones that don't know, and for me, I didn't know. I'm like, you are not from the US. You are not from the UK. You are both coming from different ways. How did you meet, and when did the Camino come into your life? Because for me, that's the craziest thing. You know, I'm like, I have the Camino right in front of my window right here. I see pilgrims almost every other morning. But it's so strange that something that for me, you know, until now, had no value, because it's always something that you, when you have things close to your home, I'm like okay, I will do the Camino eventually.
Yeah,
and suddenly there is this huge amount of people from all over the world that give that value to the Camino Santiago that we Spaniards, I think, sometimes we have lacked. So how did you meet, where do you come from, and when did the Camino came into your life?
It's going to be a romantic story, eh?
Ooh,
perfect day. Today is the For the ones that don't know, today is the 14th of February, so it's Ash Wednesday, and also is San Valentine's, so perfect day.
Baby, you start with the romantic story, yes.
I think you are romantic, you start.
I'm the romantic guy here, oh, that's what they say. So we met many years ago in the Canary Islands. We've been...
7 years ago.
7 years ago, okay? When we... For me, the first time we met was my first date. It wasn't Erica's first day. So it happened to be that we were friends for some time.
We met dancing.
Mm. We do like dancing, some salsa, bachata, crazy hip movements, you know. And this was a beginning of a story. And then the life takes you to the totally new directions, you know, and I went to India, America did her stuff. And then when I came back, we met again. And then the story, our story started, you know, suddenly we connected and we said, okay, should we walk? And she was like, yeah, let's walk. And that's what how we started.
You made this really long story really short. I'm impressed.
You see? I can do things like that. Eh?
Usually it's the other way around. So for me was that I moved here 7 years ago in Canary Island. And like he said, I come from Italy. But I left Italy in 2012. So a long time ago. I was living abroad anywhere, like UK, US, Mexico, Russia, Germany. I lived anywhere until landing here in Canary Island, because why not? Hot all year round. And I met him. Then, like he said, we lost track of each other. I was working in a hotel. I was working as event planner in a hotel. And we lost track of each other. COVID came. Then he came back to Canary Island after COVID. And by accident, I found him again on Facebook, like we were saying before about social media. Like the algorithm says something about Camino de Santiago. I was searching Camino de Santiago because I wanted to do Camino de Santiago. And he popped up in Facebook. I texted him and I said, okay, let's travel together. Why? We don't even know each other. Why? And we knew each other, but like we would meet dancing in the clubs, but then nothing else. We wouldn't talk a lot, but we found that connection again. I don't know, story of energies of, I don't know, something.
Chemistry,
I don't know.
Destiny.
I don't
know. Sam James playing.
I told him, let's go traveling together. And he said, okay. He goes, okay, if we have to go traveling together, let's go hike one day first and see if we are suitable to, as a travel buddies, to travel together. So we went hiking here in Canary Island. And by the third time, I think we were hooked.
Mm. The thing was that actually, Erica didn't want to do the Camino with me, so we looked for a different options. We looked for the Lycian Way in Turkey, but it was super hot.
Yeah, because we want to go in July.
So we looked for Japan, and Japan was closed. And so we ended up in India during the monsoon. Wow.
To walk 400 kilometers during monsoon in India.
There is actually
that's a great first date.
Yeah. It's a 400 kilometers date.
This is how we measure our relationship, by kilometers walk together.
Yeah, by the Caminos did together.
No Valentine's Day, no years, kilometers walked.
and that's pretty much how it happened. For me, it was a call, because when she said, let's travel together, I was like, oh, yeah, why not? You know, just like those, like anytime you're on the Camino and suddenly you feel the intuition tells you it's a good idea just to stop or to go that way, or whatever the intuition tells you. And I was like, okay, let's just travel together. It sounds abstract because we never even we
it's a big word, like intuition. That's true, because I would never say to anyone, let's travel together.
And that's what will happen.
Yeah.
And this will happen. It was a crazy.
And how did you, you know, for Italian and for you coming from Poland, when did you find out of the Camino Santiago? Did you read the book? What's the movie, The Way, or why the Camino? When and how the, you know, something that for me is so strange, how the Camino pops into people's life?
For me, it was when I was in a secondary school. I was 12 years old, and we had the assignment to read books. So I found this, The Pilgrimage by Paulo Coelho, and I read it. And wow. at that age, I didn't understand.
That's anything a weird about the book for that age. That's one of the probably the weirdest Paulo Coelho books.
Yeah, I couldn't understand anything. But I felt like, okay, I want to walk this this walk. I don't know why, like intuition we were saying. But 12 years old, I said I want to walk this as soon as I can. Then I had to wait many years before actually walking it, but that was the first seed for me, where I found out about the Camino de Santiago and about its power, even if I couldn't understand it fully at that age. But that was for me the seed.
You see, for me, I don't even like walking. Okay, it's a big secret. I don't like walking. You know, walking is boring.
Keep it that way. Walking. So don't tell to the 200 listeners out there that don't spread the truth about Rick.
Okay, but actually walking did. Walking helped me to, I had some problems with my back. I couldn't really move. So the walking was the only thing with, together with some Chinese Qigong practices, that I could actually start moving again. Okay, so it's went from one step, two step, three steps, and it was a slow progress from not moving until actually walking. And it happened that slowly I shifted from 2 steps of walking into 2 hours of walking, and then 2 days of walking, and suddenly
2,000 kilometers of walking.
And then it kind of came to me that I would like not to walk and come back home the same day, you know, because if you have to walk all day, how good would it be just to walk somewhere and then just to stay there and then come back the next day? Mm-hmm. And I remember my crazy friends. Okay, I have a crazy friend from Hungary who crossed entire Europe in this crazy walk of Camino de Santiago. I can't remember. And I was like, why would you do this? So I remember this guy
walk,
and okay, there is a place that you can actually walk and stay, and yeah. So for me, it was more of recovering from the back injury. Okay, finding again my health, but it was a bit of abstract because when I went to Camino, my backpack was 15 kilos, you know, and I did the Camino del Norte. And Camino del Norte, you know, the Basque side of the Camino del Norte, it's nothing.
Quite tricky.
It's quite tricky. And I was like, okay, so if I'm here, just let's walk. And since then, I don't know, walking is not so boring anymore.
But I think, you know, walking, and I agree with you, is like running or beer or coffee. Nobody that says, you know, the first day is not really enjoyable. When you walk just for a walk and you go for a 1 day, 1 hour, you may think it's boring. You may get it's horrible. I'm like dark coffee and I'm like the darkest of the darkest beer. I'm like, but once you get into it, it's like, it gets you, you know, it's one of those really, really horrible addictions that I guess, you know, let's hope everybody has the same addiction. But once you get it, one Camino is one after the other, one after the other, one after the other. It's like, you know, running. I don't think anybody likes the first day of running. It's painful.
No.
You get, you know, no. But after 5-6 days, you get 2 months on running. It gets so pleasure. It gives you so much. I think walking is the same. 1 day doesn't give you much, but once you get into the deeper walks,
then I think you cannot live without it.
There's actually science about it. It's called acquired taste. So once you actually try it, and
Yeah, the body asks for it after it gets used.
Yeah. And that's the beauty right now. Even some doctors in the UK are prescribing walking. And I think, you know, right after COVID, we are finally more back into nature, more into walking, and people are getting a more healthier lifestyle. And I think, you know, the Camino gives that extra. And I'm talking about the Camino as an abstract. Any Camino in the world that has a profound and human, a religious concept gives you an extra that a hike is different. There's a big, big difference between a Camino or a pilgrimage between a hike. I love both. But for me right now, the pilgrimage gives me more than a hike.
We prefer also pilgrimages. Yeah. Okay, Erica is more, she used to have lots of hiking experience.
Yeah.
I didn't like walking, so I don't have a hiking experience. but now when we're choosing the Caminos that we'd like to walk, for us, first of all, it's more likely to be a pilgrimage rather than a hike, okay? Because of the spirits.
Yeah, because of the purpose.
The purpose of walking, the atmosphere, and how actually people treat you. Because once you are a hiker, sometimes you are tourists, you know, sometimes you are tourists. Whenever you on the pilgrimage, there is something more.
I love that one. You know, when you're a hiker and you go to a village, you're a tourist. But when you're a pilgrim and you go to a village, you're still a pilgrim. I like that one.
I'm gonna happens to
I don't know if you one. Had the same experience in Japan, how they, because there it's really visible, the difference between tourist and the pilgrim. Even you being foreigner in Japan, it's striking the difference.
This year, for example, we went to do the Shikoku pilgrimage in Japan. And as a Shikoku pilgrim, you have an attire. You have a hat, you have a kimono you have to wear, you have a stick you have a bag. You can see from far away that this guy is doing the Shikoku pilgrimage, okay? That's how straightforward it is. Mm-hmm. And when people see you...
Before we go into Shikoku, let's start from the beginning. You say your first Camino to India. But let's go to the beginning. So when was the first Camino de Santiago? When you guys said, okay, India was amazing, but this thing that was in our minds, it's time to go and walk the Camino.
For me, it was before India. I've started with the Camino del Norte. Okay.
And why the Camino del Norte? Because usually, you know, most people always say, you know, the Camino Frances or an easy route, but usually the Norte is kind of like that one for, it's for the hikers and you are not even a walker. So how did you go to the Norte?
It's crazy.
So the thing, Jose, was that like any other person who's joining the Camino and trying to figure out which Camino is the best, you know, you read things on the internet. And they said the best views, the best food, and not as
there's
busy.
Too much crap in the internet.
That's why we do what we do, you know. That's why now we're going through the Caminos, we get to know the Caminos, and we talk about the Caminos from many different perspectives because there's lots of crap on the Camino about this, you know.
Yeah.
And so I've started with the Camino del Norte, which from there. I make it even more difficult because I took the Primitivo variant.
Okay. So you were saying, you know, about the Camino del Norte, as we were saying, you know, a lot of people think the Camino del Norte, the beauty, the landscapes, but what was your get from the Camino del Norte?
What would I get from Camino del Norte?
How did you feel? Like, is as beautiful as they say? Is there a lot of road? Because I think, you know, there's a lot of mysticism about the Camino del Norte. I agree there is some stages that are incredibly beautiful in nature, but there's also a ton of road that you walk.
There
beautiful.
There is. There is a lot. Cantabria itself, you know, when you're getting into this part, that that's where it starts. But I like the mixture. I really like the mixture, you know, because you start with the Basque country. You start in the mountains. You go through Deva. You go to places that are deep into the mountains, and then you're getting to the coast, you've enjoyed the beautiful views. And let's be honest, the views of the northern Spain of the coast are amazing. Mm-hmm. hands down, hats down, everything down. And so this is one. And then the food, you know, and then the food is another big thing. It's We're thinking of doing it again. Okay, we're thinking of doing it again because it's worth to walk it. Actually, it's really worth to get to know this part of the Spain. Not as busy, still not as busy as some other caminos, which is a plus.
When did you walk it? What time of the year was it?
It was June, July.
Okay, so it's, people have to be careful right now because a lot of people go there for the summer, you know, surfers, and it's kind of tricky in terms of getting to albergue. That's the only thing you need to be, you know, and make sure that you have a reservation. Because
we've been to some places, and many of the villages, as you know, that are on the, like Castro Urdiales, they're on the seaside. Mm-hmm. So once you're there, you can actually pay the fees of the tourists rather than the pilgrim, you know, so it can be a bit more expensive. There's less places to stay, but you know, you have to make your way through the Camino. But yeah, have it in mind, especially if you walk in it during the summer.
Mm-hmm. And how about the Primitivo? How was the Primitivo? That is getting more vibrant than, you know, a lot of, I think it's getting more and more people call.
It's another big surprise. I can only say, like, the first experience, it was people wouldn't really start. People start with the French Camino, and from there they will build on and they will extend to Portuguese, French, Primitivo del Norte, no? Whereas starting from Primitivo and then switching to different Caminos, del Norte or Portuguese, was like coming from the village to the city. Because Primitivo, it's really basic, you know, and you can meet many old-time pilgrims in the Primitivo because they still prefer this basic feel of the mountains and still undiscovered. And maybe let's keep it that way, yeah?
Let's not talk too much about it.
For you, Erika, when was the first Camino?
The first Camino was the Portuguese, and it was last year. We did the Portuguese and the French one, the French Camino, back to
Portuguese
back.
Coastal, Portuguese Central.
Central from Porto. Central. Yeah. So with the
and how was the
spiritual variant?
How was the drop into the Camino Santiago? Was what you expected coming from a hiker?
No, it's different from the hiking, because sometimes when you. What I like about the pilgrimage is that everyone usually is going on the same direction, no? With the same purpose. While with the hiking, you are, we meet in the mountain, hi, bye, and never see again. But in the pilgrimage, it's all different because you keep meeting and losing people until you get to Santiago, no? It can be even on the French way. You meet someone in Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port and suddenly you meet it in Santiago. And there is a whole life in the middle that have gone through two different people that you are meeting, no? From the beginning to the end. So it's completely different spirit. Nothing to do with a hike. Maybe the shoes are the same, the backpack is the same, but completely different experience. So this is why the pilgrimage also gets you hooked. I still love hiking. I still do it every week. Mm-hmm. But yeah, completely different.
And how was the for each of you the first arrival to Santiago? It's one of the things, you know, a lot of people, they see, you know, have this changing moment of life. Was there anything like that for you, or was it just a great moment?
For me, I always feel anxious. Like I excited, anxious, nervous. Mm-hmm. Not only the first time, but also the other times. Mm. I don't know.
Mm.
I think the first time because it was the first time. Then once I did it with my family. So also doing a part of Camino with my family and getting to the square with my parents, it was a different feeling. So every time is different because you are different.
Mm-hmm. Mm. You, for you, Rick, I remember, how was the first time?
I remember Jose that the first moment I arrived, the first time I've arrived to the Praça Obradoiro and saw the cathedral, strangely, okay, I'm not going to give common answers, but strangely it felt for me like that's not over, you know, it's not like the end. It didn't feel like a great place to arrive, like, oof, I arrived. Mm-hmm. You know, like you're coming home after an entire week, Friday afternoon, you're getting
on
the
couch. Yeah, you let it go, relax.
It didn't feel like that. It felt actually, okay, I'm here, but what's next? You know, not in the case of achieving, of gaining more kilometers, mm-hmm. or gaining more certificates. No, it simply didn't feel like I have arrived. So it was the first time. And every time that happens that we get to Santiago, this changes, okay? It really changes. Sometimes there are tears. Sometimes there are lots of introspection, lots of silence. Sometimes you're actually hesitating to go because, you know, once you get there, everything is kind of over. And sometimes you just get there and you just stay there even just because you want to be there with people, you know, and seeing other people's joy. And then, you know, it's also your joy and it's kind of, and last longer, no? Because, okay, I finished the Camino, but I see people coming through the gate.
It's amazing, that moment. I love seeing people coming in the square.
Every time is a bit different. But the first time felt like, that's something else. Must be something more to it.
I agree. You know, a lot of people, they say that the first Ora Valtro Santiago is that crazy moment of happiness. But for me, it was great. But I think I felt like you. I'm like, what's next, no? It was kind of like, okay, I got here. I know there's something more coming up. But no, this is the beginning, not at the end of a journey, no? And my crazy moment was in Muxia. It was kind of like the place where, like, you know, the sunset, blah, 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 bagpipes. It's like, wow. Now, that was the real tear moment. But anyway, but after all of those small caminos, suddenly your life gets together, you're now a couple, and you decide to embark on a crazy camino. How and why did you decide the Shikoku? Why going to Japan for like almost like 3 months?
So that was actually, when we actually met, we wanted to go already to Japan, but it was still closed because of COVID. Mm-hmm. So Japan, I don't know. For me, I felt this connection to Japan since I was a child, because I was watching anime, I was reading manga, I would love sushi food at that age wasn't really popular, that came later. But even at university, I was going to choose Japanese language to study. And I always felt this connection. I was reading books about Japanese culture, geisha, samurai, whatever. And I felt that connection and I wanted to go. And just life gave us the right moment, the right opportunity at the right moment and the right journey, because visiting a country with a pilgrimage is visiting a country from a different perspective, completely different. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was the first time for us in Japan, not only doing the Shikoku pilgrimage, but also in Japan. So everything new.
It was new.
Everything new. And yeah, we were been planning this trip for some time. When they opened the borders, we just jumped onto the train, like literally.
Booked the flight immediately.
And we were there. The problem was that we only had 3 months and we didn't know if we can make it. Because what they actually recommend, and then as the Shikoku pilgrimage, 1,200 kilometers in 45 days. Mm-hmm. I don't know how do they do the counting.
Yeah, no idea.
I don't know. Because if you divide 1,200 between 45, it's
30 something.
It's anyway, it's many kilometers every day without stopping. And this is not the way that we travel.
No,
this is not the way that we travel.
We love slow traveling. And slow.
I think I have a friend that he did the Shikoku, and I think he did an average of 40k a day. Again, he's more into sports, more into running, more into getting point A to point B. So he did it more as a challenge for him physically than that, I guess. And that's the only one that I know that has done Shikoku by walking and you guys. And but other than that, I think it's just the average 25K to 30. If you have to every once in a while, more than that, you are losing a lot of the experience.
Even in 71 days, we think that we lost a lot of experience and we want to go back to see or experience other things that we couldn't.
There is a map, there is the way you can go, but there is also many different variations of the way, passing through magical places, many side temples called Bekaku. And not only 88, but altogether it makes it more than, I think,
1,400.
Anyway, lots of different temples. So
yeah, if you add the 20 extra.
So it was a beautiful, beautiful first encounter to Japan. But curiously enough, we both different people, though, okay? We both different personalities. Erica likes to prepare for the journey, whereas I like to find myself in a situation and see what is actually happening, okay? So I didn't really prepare.
No, he didn't know even where Japan was on the map.
Kind of, yeah.
Kind
of. That was one of the questions. Like, you know, a lot of people, I plan for Japan. My brother, I went with my brother. I'm a planner, but when I go by myself, I let it go. I'm like you. It's a normal country. I'm like, nothing's going to happen. Just get a rough plan. But no, my brother's more like in the other side. Like, let's plan every day, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, we will see. But again, and that was for a 3 weeks. So I cannot imagine for almost a 3 month. After, you know, as the movie say, going into the unknown.
I didn't plan in a spreadsheet way of planning. I don't do that. I just made sure we knew what guidebook to follow. What was the starting point? Where was the option to sleep and read a book about it? That's not even a lot of planning.
Yeah, that's still.
I knew how many kilometers we had to walk. That's the only thing I knew more than you.
That's still 100%.
I think, you know, when you go to a country that you don't know the language, I don't know if you speak Japanese, but you need a little more planning. I agree with you that a little more of, you know, the stage where to go, because it's easy to move around, but sometimes, you know, I don't know if the Shikoku was like that, but in the Kumano, people that you find on the streets know English at all.
No, you
get to communicate, but English is like nothing. You are just a weird white guy that is coming.
The thing is that we had only 90 days.
Only
90 days.
Only.
And for me, I wanted to make the most out of it without stressing with planning.
The language itself, that's true. I remember this anecdote, you know, like in the back of the guidebook that we had, because there is like a professional guidebook for the Shikoku pilgrimage, okay, which is strongly recommended, by the way, that saves us lots of trouble and help us in many situations. On the back of this book, there is actually written the translation, when you call to albergue, to the guest house, like a phrase book, hey, how are you? I would like to book the room. And also in Japanese, so transliteration. So you can say in Japanese, hey, how are you? So we used to call, hold on, I'll read it to you because it's really funny. So we used to call and say, yoyaku onegai shimasu, which would mean that we're looking for the reservation for the next day, no?
Yeah.
And we've learned it until how much is the room? So we used to.
So we learned all the conversation, no? Hey, how are you? We are two pilgrims. We are looking for a room to stay tomorrow, today. Do you have a room? Yes, no. How much is it? Answer. We didn't understand because we didn't learn the numbers.
They are complicated. So this is like, well, ¿dónde está el baño? Otra cerveza when you're walking the Camino Francés. The basic things that the pilgrim needs.
Pretty much that's what it is. That's what it was. Yeah?
And for the rest, Google Translator.
It's funny because they're more used to translate. They have the little devices. And for us, you know, the Kumano is different because for the Kumano, you work with the Tanabe and the Kumano Association. So you plan the whole thing ahead. The Kumano, if you go totally in plan, the probability is that you're going to have a place to sleep if you go day by day. So you usually book the whole Camino in advance. They are set up. They have created a nonprofit that runs the hall, and they connect you with the people. You choose the kind of style of accommodations that you have. And some of them are their albergue style family houses. They're amazing, but you kind of like have to plan it ahead. If you go like Camino style with nothing planned, like probably you're going to be running away from the Camino.
It happened to us the first day when we actually went the Camino style. I like, okay, we arrive wherever we arrive.
Well, we wanted to camp the day.
Okay, but anyway, camping, it's a totally different thing. The camping is illegal. Okay, you cannot really camp. So anyone who's listening to it, have it in mind that the camping, it's...
Can you hear the dogs?
Yeah, I can. I'm like, I don't know what you're doing over there, but someone is having fun.
hold on.
No, but...
So, no problem. We can stop if you need it, eh?
It's not our dogs. It's the neighbors.
Ah, okay. Oh, no, but we can hear the interview. We can hear perfectly.
Okay.
Yes.
Should be fine, eh?
Okay.
So the thing is that we went on the first day of Shikoku pilgrimage, we went the Camino style. That means going wherever you can until you're the place that you want to go, and then you're looking for accommodation. That's the Camino style for us.
Yeah.
And we paid the hard lesson, you know. We paid because we arrived to the place. There's some places called the Henro House, the pilgrimage houses, when they offer the accommodation to pilgrims. And we arrived and said, listen, can we stay here? Do we have places? And she said, yes, we have places. But did you book? And we didn't book. Okay, you didn't book. So
this is the
price. Well, we have a special price for you. And the price was actually much higher than the normal price if you book.
And we didn't have dinner.
And you didn't have dinner.
Because if you booked,
terrible.
You have a dinner included. It was half the plan.
That's the key. So, the Kumano is the same. You book and the place will provide you with the food for the next day. They provide you with dinner and they provide you with breakfast, because there's no like such a thing as a Camino cafe or tortilla de patatas. No. You're lucky if you find a Coke machine. That was the only thing. There was like finding heaven, suddenly a Coke machine in the middle of the mountains. And it was like, oh, thank you. But other than that, there was no cafes, no nothing. So the great thing is like they need to plan for the people they know that's going to be there, because most of these places, they're just houses run by the owner. So close to what will be here, a bed and breakfast or an Airbnb.
Later on, we kind of figure out that maybe booking a day ahead, you know, using actually the help of the locals would be a good idea. Okay, so every time you arrive to the place, we always ask, could you actually call the next albergue
and next house.
Yeah.
And it was pretty much easier, you know.
The local people were really helpful in this. Calling, asking for the price, writing it down on the calculator. It was amazing. The communication without speaking a word in English for them and Japanese for us was amazing. How we managed.
It feels, you know, it pretty much feels a bit of like people coming to the Camino from Australia or from Canada or from States, you know, when they cannot speak English, when they cannot speak Spanish, you know, and they have this language barrier. And, you know, for us, we live here. So for us, it's pretty much easy, you know, that's your common language, Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
But there was like an empathy of, okay, that's
now
how
I get them.
Now I get how they feel. Yeah.
Yeah. And
but I still think that in Spain, they speak more English than in Japan.
True.
I will say that at least in the countryside, yes. You know, for me, the experience in the Kumano was like the English really, as we were telling before you, the first day we arrive at the house and they have a sign, you know, the lady will come back at blah, blah time. Then this 80 years old lady, you know, that comes out like a manga, like book, super, you know, curved, like small, tiny, starts speaking Japanese, all super fast, blah, 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 points here, dinner. blah, 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 blah. She opens the fridge, points to the beer, 200. Blah, blah, blah. 6 o'clock. She had the speech right away. I'm like, she got the numbers perfectly, but she didn't need more. I'm like, and I don't care. She cooked, created that. She explained to us how to make breakfast by ourselves. It was just amazing. I will remember that lady forever. But as you say, English on the countryside, non-existent. You have to be ready to translate, communicate.
I remember when we got to a pilgrim house, when we called, when the accommodation called to book this a room for us, the guy asked, where are they from? And they said, Italy and Polish. So we arrived to this place and the guy was giving us an introduction about the house and he started taking slips. Lavatrice. And the word in, like, he had the slips for each thing in the language of the guest who was coming. So it was amazing. That's hilarious. The guy, Temple 44.
Oh, yeah, what a customer service. Wow, wow, wow.
Yeah, just, that's one of the things that they're just for the people. It's incredible how well the welcome, how do you feel? And everybody's, that was something that surprised me. In the cities, to a point that is too extreme, like I remember, you know, just cleaning up a table or taking the to a restaurant, and they were like, no. They feel like totally, you know, pissed. I'm like, I'm just, you know, I work on the other side, so here's the plate. I'm like, no, you don't do that kind of stuff. But in the Camino, it was incredible. Everybody's, because you stay also in everybody's house, so you have, you sleep here, and then they sleep here. So it's not like, it was amazing.
Yeah. I don't know if even on Kumano Kolo there's a tradition that there is on the Shikoku pilgrimage, which is the tradition of Osetai, which are the gifts that local people give to a pilgrim. Okay? I wish to have this tradition.
Accepting and giving, not only pilgrims, but...
I wish to be the part of the Camino, because what we have encountered in the reality was that we were walking, imagine, a mid of the day, 12 o'clock.
30-40 degrees 34. With 100% humidity.
Yeah. And then suddenly a car stops, a local car, and gives you 2 cans of cold Coca-Cola or any other drink. And you have to accept it. There is no way you cannot accept it. And yeah, I was like, really, what is that? And this is actually called the Osetai, the gift they give to you, and happen Osetai every day.
Osetai, yeah. They give you drinks, food, money. We even got teacups, ceramic teacups for Osetai. We got anything for Osetai. And it's beautiful. It's one of the best thing about this pilgrimage, because you start develop this feeling of giving, no? You're going for yourself, like for your journey, but you start giving also.
And then the pilgrims itself, they start to give Osetai to each other.
Yeah.
So whatever you meet at a pilgrim, you just like, okay, this is Osetai for you. This is the present for you. And and the beautiful circle of sharing and giving, it's visible, no?
Yeah.
That's amazing, because I think it's something that, no, in the Kumano, there wasn't anything like this, but... You know, I think it's one of the beauties that these small caminos, that I think they're never going to become as big as the Camino de Santiago or any other pilgrims. They're going to still be so small. Yeah. So there's these kind of things happen. And you see this thing, for example, in the Camino de Santiago, I see many people, you know, giving gifts to other pilgrims. You see all these places where people, locals, put food for people to pick up. So I think the Camino de Santiago is a little, but again, Europeans, you know, if we saw something free, it will be everybody going and running for that. And I think, you know, one of the things that surprised me in the Kumano, like they have all these little temples that people put money as gifts for the gods. And, yeah, you know, if that happens in Spain or in Italy, that there will be no money left over there. Let's be real.
It was amazing there when the safety is one thing that was the most striking to me, because, for example, there were some days we had to climb some mountain to go to a temple and then come back, for example. And we didn't want to carry the backpack because we had to come back. So we would leave to the side of the road next to a tree, climb the mountain, come back after 4 hours, 5 hours. The bag was still there.
It's
so, it's incredible. It's amazing.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. Beautiful.
And
beautiful.
How do you compare, you know, the walking of the, as you were saying, you know, the Camino with the Sikoku? What are the differences and the connections that you saw in your walk?
So Oseta is one thing, like it's a big thing. You still find it in Camino, but there it's really central, this Oseta thing. Also, how people treat the pilgrims in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Because for local people, the pilgrim, they have a devotion towards the pilgrim. They think that the pilgrim is Kukai in person. Kukai is the monk who mm-hmm. initiated, let's say, this pilgrim. So they treat you as a god, and they take care of you a lot.
Mm-hmm. That also, but then there is one thing of the atmosphere you can feel in the Shikoku. The terrain wise, Shikoku is much more roads involved. You know, there is much more pavement mm-hmm. road. It passes through many villages next to the roads. So I would say maybe 70% of road and then 30%. I'm not good with percentage, okay?
No. But then more or less. More or less.
And then there is a 30% which are mountains and the rural side. The mountains are more difficult in Japan, although they're much less. They're much more difficult in Japan because they're vertical.
Yeah, they're like this.
Totally. Well, in Italy, they also have some Monte, oh my gosh, that they weren't easy, but nothing compared with Japan. I agree with you.
And so sometimes I think that it's much more difficult, not only because of the distance, 1,200, which is comparing to Via della Plata, but
yeah.
The distance wise, but you have to pretty much climb a lot. Okay.
That's the big difference that I saw with people that is used to the Camino de Santiago, to the 25 kilometer, you know, by day. When you go to these kind of caminos and, you know, Via de Francesco or Japan, I'm like, you need to look at the how it looked like, because this 12K can be much, much, much harder than 25. Mm-hmm. And sometimes 25 in the mountain can be almost impossible for a lot of people. And that's what I realized in the Kumano. There were days that just walking 2K will take us an hour and we will destroy.
Actually, the mountain on this pilgrimage were called, the hardest bit on the mountain were called, translated to Spanish and to English, where the pilgrim falls down, because they are almost impossible to climb this mountain.
That's surprising. You know what's surprising? Because the pilgrimage of Shikoku, it's much more towards people than in the second part of life, okay? Because
mm-hmm.
according to Buddhist tradition, you have to do a Shikoku pilgrimage. You have to collect the stamps in your stamp book, and then you can take it with you to the tomb, okay? And then it guarantees you the passage to the next level. It's like a passport, no? So okay. you're meeting people which are in the second part of life, sometimes even 70, mm-hmm. 80, 90. And we happened many times, we were like struggling and going up, and suddenly we look around and there was some 80 years old gentleman just joyfully climbing up.
Well, joyful, I wouldn't miss joyful.
Than us. I was like, what is going on, you know? 80 plus.
In the Kumano, all the Japanese people that we saw were also much, much older, all retired. You know, the only people that we saw like our age were foreigners that were walking the Kumano. Locals,
yeah.
Over 60, up.
But because when they are young, they don't have time for the...
Of course, that's also true for that kind of... But also it's not part of their, as you were saying, part of their life. You know, the pilgrimage is something that you do when you are on that stage of your life. As for us, has become something that now more people think to do it prior to getting on that point of life. But in the old days, the Camino Santiago, but it still is in Spain, America, and Europe, that thing that you do when you retire.
Yeah.
As a check.
No time.
Not so spiritually, yeah. But more like a check.
Mm.
As a transition into from active to non-active life.
Two other things that I would say, three other things maybe, not two. One thing is that they don't, like Camino de Santiago, you have to walk to be a pilgrim. You have to walk. But mm-hmm. in Chicago pilgrimage, you can do it by car, you can do it by train, by bus. You are still a pilgrim. They don't mind.
Yeah, this is the thing, no? The funny thing. You know how Camino works, how people can be judgmental, no? Either you take a bus, you're not a pilgrim, okay? You send the bag, you're not a pilgrim, you know? Always the old way, the hard way, or no way, okay? Where people in Japan are much more relaxed, you know?
Because, you know, a lot of people, they don't know, but again, pilgrimage is just to get to the point of a pilgrimage, and it's never... The whole world of walking is extra. I'm like, even for the holy year in Santiago, to get the indulgence, the cleanse, I'm like, you don't need to walk to Santiago. You need to pray. You need to go to mass. You need to confess your sins. But walking and getting there is not part of the thing. And for us, you know, the Camino Santiago, we have created that super pilgrim that it's only the walking. And as you were saying, this is style. As for the rest of the world, it's much more about the walk that you do inside here and here. It's much more intense.
Yeah, if we compare it to like to the Islamic religion, okay, they go to Mecca, like they have to go to Mecca, but no one walks to Mecca. Getting to Mecca is simply impossible. You have to cross the desert, you have to meet Indiana Jones, but still everyone is traveling and everyone is experiencing the pilgrimage by traveling to the holy place. So this is actually a bit different, you know, that Japanese people. And that pilgrimage are much more relaxed about walking, no walking, taking a bus, and especially for people in the second part of the year. And you can see many people taking the bus. You can just making the pilgrimage because they cannot walk, but they still do it, you know, in the bus, in the train.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big difference as well.
Yeah. And the other thing I wanted to mention is that there is no end and no finish. Like it's a circular route. Even if there is temple 1 and temple 88, you don't have to start from temple 1 and finish in 88. You can start anywhere. You can do it in reverse. You are still a pilgrim. There is no end and no beginning. It's circular.
That beauty, no? That's the beauty of this pilgrimage that's never ending.
Yeah.
Never ending.
Like connecting to your arrival in the square of Santiago, no? It's not the end.
They used to be different. They used to be in Santiago. So it didn't happen to get to Santiago, but still you have to go back.
You have to go back home.
So there is only half
the Camino done. Pilgrimage, as we intended, and we get to the war in Europe, is going from point A to a point B, usually where it's something that is, you know, important. In this case, the remains of St. James, or going to Lourdes, or anywhere, going to Rome. But for Japanese people, and, you know, in this case, the Kumano, they has really specific points that they have to go. But Shikoku, that's the beauty. It's just a connection of churches and temples that they're just all together. So there's no, I think that's one of the only few places in the world that can be called a pilgrimage. That has no end and no beginning, because the world pilgrimage really meant going to a place that is the, you know, Mecca we were talking, but in Shikoku is the only one that has no end, no beginning. It's just beautiful.
Yeah.
And you meet people from going every direction, you know, sometimes you meet people go in the opposite direction because
experienced pilgrim decide to do it in reverse. If you are a beginner, they don't recommend it.
There's a story that we learned that when you go the opposite direction, the chances are that you can actually meet the monk who goes the normal way.
Okay.
So people decided to go anti-clockwise just to meet impersonation
the kukai,
of this kukai of the kobodashi. Once they go in the opposite way, and some people walk it continuously for many years. And
we met a man, 8 years old man. He was at his 759 times doing the pilgrimage. Yes, you can drop the jaw like that.
759.
It doesn't matter when you get to that point. I'm like 30 more, 30 less. Wow.
And he's like, what? And he's like, yeah,
And he was giving his house for free to pilgrim. He was opening his house to sleep, beautiful house, to pilgrims.
So
he was really devoted to the pilgrimage.
That's what they like in Japanese. They really into what they do. You know,
whatever they do.
The best knives, you know, the best knives are from Japan because you spend an entire 5 years to make one knife. You know, the ikebana, you know, the art of putting flowers together.
The time of the passions and the just the tree, the tea, everything. They have the time. Time for them is not like
a ritual.
Yeah.
And the same they do with the pilgrimage. Now, once they decide to do the pilgrimage, and like us, they hooked, because you hooked in the pilgrimage vibe, they take it to a totally different level. Like, okay, we walked 10 Caminos. Okay, happy day. Happy, wow, 10 Caminos. You know, it happens that you know how you recognize the pilgrims in the Shikoku pilgrimage, Jose? You have wish slips. Okay, and depending of which color of the wish slip you have, you can be a beginner, medium, and any other type of pilgrim. So beginner slip, yeah, the beginner is a white slip. Okay, and I don't know if you're also a part of. You also put the video to that, or just the voice.
We'll go the video. The quality is not really good, but I will put some pictures also for people to see.
So have in mind, hold on, I'll show you the white slip, okay? Because
yeah, we have still all the slips with us.
So every pilgrim gets actually something which is a wish slip, okay? This is a bunch of wish slips that you had when you started the pilgrimage. And this is a white slip for the beginners. And beginners means from 1 to 4. Once you finish
1 to 4, like 1,200 kilometers. Let's remember.
Once you finish, once you give 4 turns around the island, you can go to a different color. Okay,
I think it was the green.
There's a green which is from.
So this is like the belts in Taekwondo or in Judo. You go from white to yellow, from yellow to green, from green to brown, exactly. From brown to black. That's
but, yeah, and so we were like 1 to 4. You're still a beginner. You're still a novice. You still know nothing about stuff, okay?
So you walked more than 5,000 kilometers and you're still a beginner.
Novice.
You know nothing.
So then goes this one or the green one. And yeah, you still know nothing, you know? It's still. And then you get into this one, which is another slip, which is in the gold color, okay? It tells you this is plus 50. You finish 50 times. And then you are allowed to get a golden wish slip. This slip you would leave in every temple, okay? Wherever you go to the temple, you have to leave it in every temple. And you write your name, your surname, and your wish. Like an intention setting on every day of the Camino, yes?
And then you have the papers that you fold. Holy cow.
Yeah, exactly.
And how many are those?
And then you have the champions who get the personalized wish slips. They get, like, can you see it or it's blurred?
It's a little blurry, but we can see it more or less. Yeah.
Just here. Now it's unblurred. Hold on. Blurred, not blurred. 1 and 2. Now it should be okay.
We can see it right there. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
And so how many times you have to walk for that?
Well, this the man who walked 759 times gave it to us.
Okay.
So I don't know when you.
So these are done specially for them. Made.
They decide the.
From the old kimonos, you know, from the old kimonos, in one special place in Japan, in Kyoto. Anyway, so there is like really interesting vibe to it, you know, really lots of details, lots of information, lots of customs and tradition, no?
And receiving this from people who walked many times, it's like a blessing. So it's like El Setai.
Amazing. That's so beautiful. Incredible journey. And how does all of that, because we haven't talked, but again, your name is, and you create these Camino Tellers. What was the, how and when did Camino Tellers come to life and why did you decide to create this project?
So pretty much I took a camera on the Camino, you know, and put the first videos about how I make my backpack, you know, and people pressed I like, and some commented, and other people watched, So I put another video, and people started to like it more. It sounds easy, but it was actually like this. And suddenly you said, okay, if people are interested in the subject, if I like the Camino, if I enjoy the Camino and I want to walk more the Camino, let's talk about different Caminos. You know, let's talk about experience. Let's talk what helped me, what could be helpful for others. And from being at just a matter of like a souvenir for myself of taking the camera with me on the Camino, it became a beautiful community, because on the end of the day, for us, Camino Tellers and the Camino, it's a community. It's not about me, Erica. It's not Erica, Ricky, Camino. No, it's simply Camino Tellers. Coming from Camino and Tellers as storytellers. So we join them together.
Like you with Camino people. Right.
It's I think that's the key. And what I love about sharing other people's stories, because it's not about us. And I think, you know, as you walk many Caminos and you say it right away, it's not about you. It's about the rest and helping people and getting more people and meeting more people. And then you ended up, say, with little parts of all of those. I think, you know, in the Camino, what you were saying, you know, this little gift that you give to people in the Camino Santiago is when you walk, when you share your journey, that's the gifts that we give to each other in the Camino. Sometimes we don't value, we don't see it as the little things that they do in Japan, but maybe we need to start giving that a name to that, no? Because that's, I think, the beauty of the Camino de Santiago that other Caminos don't have. The community, the sharing with other people as you walk. That was the only thing that I missed in Japan. And for anyone that is looking for that kind of connection, Japan is not a place to go. It's a more solitary, more deep, at least in my experience, but incredible experience if you're looking for that.
For us, it's pretty clear, you know, like we've been living away of our families and our countries for many years. So we're creating our own community, you know, we are our own family. And through the subject that we love, and we love Camino, you know, we walk any occasions that we have, we walk. And not only in Camino, we travel everywhere. And we see that the community is something that's much more, it's all about the community on the end of the day.
Yeah, it's all everyone about... is craving that sense of belonging, and we try to encourage people to go out to their comfort zone and go towards the life of their dream. Because, like you said, if everyone do Camino, the world would be a better place. You said it before, so we encourage that and creating this community of supportive people, supporting each other, encouraging each other.
Nowadays, you have created this project, no? The retreat, the journey within, no? Can you tell us a little bit about this project that you have created for this year?
It started everything with a journal. So after traveling, after making Caminos, we thought that the journaling really helps us to put everything together, actually, to go through the Camino with a specific mindset. And so we created the journal for the Camino, and talking about subjects like the letting go, surrender, acceptance, gratitude.
Going through the process of walking, no? Because like you said, when you walk at the beginning, it's just painful. So you go through these physical challenges at the beginning. Then you go through the mental challenges where the mind is restless. And then you go through the emotional challenges until you get to more a spiritual place. So the journal tried to replicate that process, natural process when you're walking a pilgrimage.
And from there onwards, people were just asking like, okay, let's do it. Let's meet.
They were keep asking, let's meet.
Let's meet. So because we see all the time in YouTube, we see on YouTube and it's on social media, but let's meet. So we say, okay, let's meet. And we created something which is a extension of the Camino journey within journal, which is the retreat, 4 days retreat before the Camino. Okay, not far from where you're staying in Pyrenees, okay, in Val Carlos, next to Saint Jean Pierre de Port. And we hope that we can make this safe space for people to come, slow down, relax, adjust and synchronize to the Camino vibe before they actually setting for the Camino. What we notice is before any Camino that we do, we always take at least two, three days of slowing down.
To get into
okay? Because the vibe is different. You're coming from New York, you just took a metro, you took the plane, JFK, you're flying back, then you're getting there. There is a, first of all, there is jet a lag. Jet lag. There is not only jet, there is, you know, the hype of New York or Melbourne or wherever. And then you're like, okay, let's walk Camino. And like, oh, hold on. Let's take it easy. So this is the purpose of it, you know? And we like to share a bit of what we are, what we do, and how, in which way we experience the Camino, what helps us, and share with others.
Yeah.
All right, so thank you so much for this time. You know, I hope that this is a great success, and I invite everyone, you know, we'll put the Camino Tellers, they can find you on Instagram, on YouTube, and the website, and hopefully we will meet this May. I'm like, now that we will be closer and you will be passing through Pamplona. So I hope I will get you to visit you in San Jan or maybe on your way to Pamplona. But thank you for sharing your experience with the Camino. Thank you for creating that community. You know, as we were saying, the more people, the more love, the more different ways to get to the Camino. At the end, we are all here for the same reason. And we all have been hooked by the Camino in the same way. So I'm like, you know, spread the love. Why not? Give it the, what was the name? The Hurricane, or what was the...
Osetai.
I think that's what we are doing, you know, in a way, give back to the Camino. That's what we call it, no, in the Camino Santiago. But it's such a beautiful thing. We'll have to maybe think about putting a name. But till then, you know, we always say here, buen camino, ultreya.
Ultreya, ultreya,
thank you.